Oh boy, pastor's got props. Good morning. Merry Christmas. I do want to give a shout out, though I do think he left just recently, to the other man in our midst who knows how to decorate his person this time of year in these festivities. But I love the Advent season. When you think of Advent, Advent really means coming. And we celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ. But not just that he already came as that child in a manger, but also we look forward with hope to his second coming, his return, when he will bring with him the restoration of everything. This week of Advent, we're celebrating hope. And have you ever realized that there are some words in our language that are just kind of vague and fluffy? And I think hope is one of those words. Like, what does hope mean, really? And as I was thinking about this, though, you know, realizing in the gospel story, hope is that central part, that key. Hope is the key that opens the door to a whole new world. And out of love for you, I won't begin singing that Aladdin song, okay? Oh, come on, let's loosen up a little bit. Or otherwise, I will sing that Aladdin song. But you think about that, you know, just think of, you know, that magic carpet ride and just opening up our eyes, our hearts to a whole new world that Jesus brought when he brought the new covenant, a covenant of hope. Jesus told his disciples, I give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. The keys to a whole new world, a whole new way of living, a whole new way of seeing, a whole new way of worshiping, a new way of existing. This is the hope that we have. Hope is that shield that guards our heart from the fiery darts of the enemy. The darts of doubt, the darts of disappointment. If you know Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about the armor of God and take up the shield of faith. And, you know, I realize for a lot of people, hope is that necessary ingredient that's so powerful, especially in this time of year. You know, depression runs rampant in our society, especially in the wintertime. And today, it's celebrating that shortest day of the year, the least amount of light. And those who are living in darkness, struggling with their emotions, hope is that key. It's that shield that says just one more day, that better things are coming. For those around us, or maybe even here in this room today, struggling and going through difficult circumstances where you don't see the answer, you don't know the solution, hope is so powerful. And hope for us is that light that we hold out to those in the darkness. As we are called to carry the light of the gospel, the good news, to be a lighthouse to those in dark times, in dark waters, going through the storms of life, sharing that hope that we have with them. But what is hope as far as a definition? And I pulled something together for myself. Hope is the confident expectation of a favorable and enjoyable outcome. It's that confident expecting of favor and something we can enjoy. So I was thinking about that. I was reminded of Romans 8:24, which says, hope that is seen is no hope at all. For no one hopes for what they already have, right? Hope is that thing that we reach for. But I think sometimes, even in the world in which we live, hope gets lost. And I realize, you know, as we're celebrating Christmas, we're celebrating that gift of hope. You realize hope truly is a gift. You know, maybe there are a few people who come by it naturally and are naturally optimistic, naturally hopeful. I'm not really one of those people. I think a lot of us struggle with that idea of pessimism. But hope is a gift. Jeremiah 29:11, we know it. It says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. It's that gift of hope. And that's the beautiful thing, because sometimes it's like we can't drum it up in our own strength. But God wants to give us the gift of hope. But then also defining what hope is. Because hope is different than faith. I love what it says in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, faith takes our hope and gives it form. I was thinking about, you know, water. It's kind of clear, not really visible. But imagine this, if water was hope, and you were hoping for a drink, and you asked me for a drink, and if I just were to spray you in the face with a hose, probably wouldn't be the best way to go about it, would it? But some people's hope is like that. It's just vague. It's out there. But faith is what holds our hope. It gives it form. Faith is the substance of what we hope for. And I think a lot of people have just hope in hope, right? They just, well, I hope things work out. In general, you know, I guess things are going to work out. But our faith is in Christ Jesus. So we put our hope not in just like this out there in the world, but it's actually encapsulated in something. It's in the character and nature of God himself. It's what holds it. And so, you know, I love it what it says in 1 Peter 3:15. It says, always be ready to give an answer when people ask you for the reason of the hope that you have in you. And the answer that we have to give for our hope that we hopefully have is that our hope isn't just we want things to work out. We wish things would go well. But our hope comes from we know the glass. We know the character and nature of God, of Jesus Christ himself. That we hope, and we have this hope from a God who is good. Who in Hebrews 12:1 says, is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Jesus told his disciples, he said, you know, if you who are fathers know how to give good gifts around Christmas, how much more does your heavenly Father want to give good gifts to his children? Why do we have hope? Because we worship and know a God who is good. That Romans tells us that this God was not willing to spare his only son, but willingly gave Jesus Christ up for us, sent him to the cross to ransom us. How much more will he not give us all things? So we have a hope that is firm, that is in something. Our hope is in a substance of faith. I love also what it says. It tells us in 1 Timothy 6:17. You know, it's thinking about this idea of encapsulating our hope. You know, that wind, that air that you can't see until it's encapsulated in something. And in 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, teach those who are rich in this present age not to put their hope in wealth, which is uncertain, but to put their hope, their faith in God, who richly gives us all things for our enjoyment. I love that. This is character and nature of God. Why do we hope for a better tomorrow? Because we know God gives us richly all things for our enjoyment. He gives us this expectation of favor and enjoyment. That's what the Word tells us about him. We sing that song, He's a Good Father. But I don't know, think about that. You know, sometimes we're tempted to put our hope in other things. You know, Paul writes to Timothy, teach them, those who are rich. Now, aren't we all kind of rich, especially compared to the rest of the world? not to put our hope in wealth, which is fleeting, which is uncertain. Because when you put your hope in money, when that's the substance, that's what holds your hope, it's uncertain. When we put our hope in the economy or the stock market, it's uncertain. When we put our hope in the president or the politicians, I'm sorry, when you put your faith in the politicians who are just known for their honesty and their integrity, it's uncertain. But our hope and our faith is in the character and nature of a God who does not change. And that is the substance, the encapsulation of our hope. We can have hope. And the beautiful thing is not because everything we hope for comes to pass, but because even when things don't, that which holds our hope is certain, is solid. As I was thinking about the concept of hope, this verse that I've been meditating on and thinking about a lot lately comes to mind. Proverbs 13:12, which says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is the tree of life." And think about that idea of embracing hope. But I just wanted to go through that verse, kind of really dig down into it as we're talking about defining these words. And sometimes it seems like all of God's scriptures are riddles. But hope deferred. We have the opportunity with this gift to either embrace it or forfeit it, or to defer it. You know that old Kenny Rogers song, The Gambler? You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and know when to run. And he goes on, and there's a line in that that says, "Every hand's a loser, and every hand's a winner." And when you're sitting at the table of life, it's hope that keeps you in the game. But here's the thing. Hope isn't really, for us who are followers of Christ, it isn't in the hand that we're dealt. It isn't in the individual cards. Our hope is in the dealer. Our confidence is in the dealer. We stay in the game because we know at the end, we win. We've already won. Hope is that thing that keeps you in the game. And again, this isn't just a hope. You know, we hope for favorable outcomes. We hope that things go well. But here's the beauty of it. We have a hope even if not. You think about, you know, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? And they stood before the king, and it says, we know, we have hope that our God can save us from the fire, from all the consequences. But yet their hope was and if not, even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down to your idols. And guess what? They still got thrown in the fire, but that wasn't fully their hope. Their hope was in a God who was good, who went in the fire with them and walked through the fire with them and brought them out without being burned. So even when things don't go the way we expect, we have this hope. There's a Randy Travis song. I'm just going to sing to you the whole message today. But there's a Randy Travis song from his Christian album called "Don't Ever Sell Your Saddle." And a bunch of just words of wisdom for the cowboy. And I love that, is don't ever sell your saddle. And think about it, because sometimes, you know, what it is the hope for the favorable outcome is that adventure, or maybe that horse. But our hope itself is the saddle. Don't ever sell your saddle. Don't defer your hope. Don't let go of it. Embrace it. Even in the most difficult times, hold on to hope. Hold on to tomorrow. Hold on to that fact that Jesus is already there tomorrow. Hold on to the fact that God loves you. And so you have a hope that can sustain you, a hope that can fulfill you, even when the things that you hope for don't come to pass. Hope is even better. Don't ever sell your saddle. Don't ever defer your hope. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. You know, thinking about that idea of the game that we play, you ever play those white elephant games where you bring the gifts and then you kind of pass them out and you get to pick the gift and you get to choose whether or not you're going to keep it or pass it on in exchange with somebody else? But hope is that gift that we don't defer, as that we hold on to, even when the world around us says, give up your hope. You know, Job, when he went through his difficulties, even his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? Give up the hope. Are you still holding on to your integrity and your hope? And sometimes the world wants us to give it up. But the beauty of it is, I love this idea because, you know, Jesus gives us this gift. You know, in John 10:10, it says, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And the enemy would love to steal our hope. But later on in verse 28, Jesus said, I give eternal life. And you will never perish. And no one can snatch you out of my hand. And I believe that's true when we are secure in Christ, but also of our hope. See, the enemy cannot steal your hope. Now, he may try to deceive you to give it up, to forfeit it, to let it go. But in Christ, we are secure. So do not defer your hope. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Embrace that hope, because it does make the heart sick. When we become hopeless, we enter into despair. Have you seen those people who struggle with bitterness because they have that sickness in the heart because they've given up their hope? And they refuse. But here's the beauty of it. Even though a deference of hope, giving up that hope makes the heart sick, Jesus is still our hopeful healer. If maybe you're feeling that today, like you're feeling like there is no hope, come to Jesus who heals you. Even if your heart is feeling sick, if you feel in despair, Jesus wants to heal you. In fact, that's what he says. He gives us his invitation in Matthew 11:28. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavily laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And he's saying, listen, when do we usually give up hope? When we're weary, when we're worn out, when we're fatigued. And that's exactly what Jesus says. When you're just tired and you're getting to the point you say, I just can't go anymore, Lord. I'm giving up. I'm losing my hope. And I'm just ready to cash it all in and say, that's it. I just can't. He says, that's the time I invite you. He invites us to come to him, to be his healer. And he gives us rest for our souls, restores us with peace, and gives us that hope. A hope that endures, a hope that strengthens, a hope that builds us up, a hope that gives us the courage to go one more day, to press on, to run with endurance the race that is set before us, knowing that we are destined to win. Because a hope deferred makes the heart sick, but God gives healing. But a longing fulfilled is the tree of life. Pursue your longings. This is one of, just like, I was thinking about myself, reflecting on myself. That sounds kind of self-centered, doesn't it? Yeah, I was thinking about myself. But just why I'm put on this earth. You ever think about why you're here? What your mission is? Ever cried to God, what is my calling? You know, 1 Peter says, make every effort, be diligent to make your calling and election sure. And part of my life message is that we are to embrace the dreams God's put upon our hearts. Going back to this idea of knowing God, who he is. God did not give you a dream. God did not give you a hope so that you could spend your life frustrated. But he wants you to pursue your longings. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. He will put godly passions inside of you. And these dreams and these hopes that we have, they're not just something we are called to sit passively by and hope that they come to pass. We're to engage in co-labor with him in this. You know, James says, without deeds, faith is dead. That we reveal what we are hoping for. We reveal what we believe by the way in which we live, by the things at which we do. And it's not just through prayer. God once told me, he says, you know what, make sure you pray and do the right thing. Because sometimes prayer is the easy part. But actually stepping out in hope, stepping out in faith, daring to dream is challenging. Taking a step forward, even when things don't seem to be working out, and yet hold on to that. And God invites us into this. You know, we pray that our communities, our neighbors, our family, our friends would come to know Jesus, don't we? I hope that's your prayer, right? Is that your prayer? That's my prayer. But I love what it says in Romans chapter 10. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how then can they call on the name of the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can someone preach unless they are sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How can people hear about God unless someone mentions it? You know, sometimes we want to hope. I hope my neighbor gets encouraged. Maybe that hope is something God has given you and that says act upon it. Fulfill that longing. Do something with it. Do something with those dreams in your life. Embrace them. Be a part of them. Dreams are there to pursue, not there to defer. But there's a balance in it at the same time, because I've realized hope works and faith rests. There's the difference between being called and being driven. Our calling is that of hope. It's that energy that we have because we have hope. We keep working at it day by day, and yet we work at it not burning out because we know it's not fully dependent upon us. Psalm 127:2 says, in vain you rise up early and work late, toiling for food to eat. God gives rest to those he loves. When we hope, we work, but we also wait on God. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Our hope is that God has good plans for us, that we don't have to make it happen all in our own strength. That we are co-laboring with him. We trust and rest in his timing and in his sovereignty. Pursue that longing. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And God wants you to experience, wants us to experience fulfillment. Again, 1 Timothy 16, 6:17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be arrogant nor to put their trust in wealth, which is fleeting, but to put their hope, faith, and trust in God, who richly gives us all things for our enjoyment. God wants us to experience fulfillment. It is part of that blessing, the gift of hope, and that tree of life. You know, sometimes we simplify things down so much and don't realize the process of the faith journey. But I realize, you know, as I'm going through it myself, there is obviously the spiritual salvation that Jesus came to give us forgiveness of our sins by taking all of our iniquities upon himself and nailing them to the cross when he died in our place, allowing us to be reconciled to God and have the promise of eternal life in heaven. But the next step is that we are to enjoy realized righteousness, to be holy as he is holy, to be empowered by his Spirit, which in Philippians says it gives us both the desire and the ability to do what pleases him. and to walk out in our kingdom consciousness in the abundant life that he's called us to, a life of hope, joy, purpose, so that we can be the light shining in the darkness. As Jesus said, let your light so shine. Let your life be so inspiring that others would see what you have, see the hope that you have, and glorify your Father in heaven, and always be ready to give an answer to them. And so this Christmas season, let us embrace the gift of hope that God has given us for this age as well as the age to come. Let us also pursue the dreams that he has for us, embracing the abundant life, as we living out the adventure so that we might be a light to others. And as the Word, the Bible, the Scriptures instruct us, to encourage others, friends, family, brothers and sisters, you've been given the gift of hope. Go and give that same gift to others. For the Bible tells us to encourage one another daily as we see that day approaching, to spur one another on towards love and good deeds, to sharpen one another as iron sharpens iron. So go as you have received, freely you have received, freely give. Give hope and encouragement to those around you, especially those who may need it in this time, that we might share and multiply this gift of hope. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you. Wow, Lord, we thank you for this gift of salvation, the gift of that baby in the manger, knowing that that was just the beginning of the story that brought about the hope of redemption, the hope of new life. We thank you for this gift of hope that you impart to us, sometimes a hope that goes beyond explanation, but a hope that is rooted in you and your character. Help us to embrace it, to nurture it, but also in this season to share it with the world. Being ready in all seasons to give an answer for the reason for our hope, which is you, Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.